Our first scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 139. It is a Psalm of David, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 12. So listen now to God's word for us on this beautiful morning. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and night wraps itself around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second scripture is from Acts in the 16th chapter. Paul is on his missionary journeys, and here's where he is in this passage. This is Paul and his companions, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. This is the word of the Lord. Now, in my many journeys around this country, I lived in Pittsburgh for many years. That's where I met Scott. And I have to tell you that getting around the city is pretty challenging. One of the mayors came in, and she was filling in for a beloved mayor who died in office, fairly young. And one of the things she did that was one of the greatest achievements was to put up road signs, because there hadn't been any. That was somewhat helpful. You know, getting around that city is pretty challenging. There are bridges and tunnels everywhere, spanning three rivers and several buttes. In fact, you probably don't know that Pittsburgh has more bridges across water than Venice, Italy. So if a bridge doesn't get you over there, you're not going. Pittsburghs love to talk about trying to give newcomers directions because it's such a hoot. You know, I told them to just go up the hill about a quarter of a mile and then after the bend to the right to say, take the second left. I told them not to be fooled when the road that goes straight takes on a new name and the road that he was on bends to the left. Often a true Pittsburgher will stop halfway through giving directions and say, you know, it'd be easier if you just follow me, and jumps in their car and off they go. However, there are times when even old-time Pittsburghers who really know the city are stumped. They think and you can see them puzzling out various routes through bridges and tunnels, etc. And then they throw up their hands and they say, listen, buddy, if you were starting from a different point, well, maybe I could give you directions. But fact is, you just can't get there from here. Sometimes the journey of life can be like that. It seems not only is it long and a winding trip, it seems that sometimes you can't get where you want to go from where you are. And that's right where God can become very real to us. God can wade right into a situation and guide us to our destination. It's easy for God because God is already waiting for us where we want to go and encouraging us to get a move on and get there. And when we're stuck, God can act like a divine GPS device telling us where to turn right and left. Now, many, many summers ago, when our daughter, who's, how old is she now, 34, 35, was a teenager, she got a free upgrade to a fancy new phone. We didn't do the upgrade. We let her have it. She's a teenager. They got to have it. And it had a new feature, a built-in GPS. Woo! So when we drove off to the High Peaks regions of the Adirondack State Park in upstate New York, the GPS was very handy. Even standing on the top of Whiteface Mountain in New York, Anna got a signal and GPS. And this was a huge help because the maps of the Adirondacks have these little teeny winding two-lane roads, or worse yet, dotted lines. That means open only in summer and when it's not raining and it floods. So we depended on our GPS to get around. We're also lucky that our innkeeper, Ingrid, knew every restaurant and shop for 20 miles in every direction, as the crow flies, because, you know, 20 miles can be different up and down. And the problem was that she gave such detailed directions that after the fifth or sixth turning, we were lost. If we could remember everything, we would get there perfectly, but we couldn't remember all that. And so every morning, Ingrid, our innkeeper, would give us directions and get us started in the right direction, and then we would plug in the address in this fancy new thing and plug it in, and off we would go. And the GPS would direct us there, and the place was exactly where and exactly how Ingrid described it. Our innkeeper, Ingrid, was never wrong. And so after a couple of days, Anna christened the voice of the GPS Ingrid after our innkeeper. And so even today, Ingrid says to go, we still do that. Probably the best thing about Ingrid, the GPS voice, was that she could handle detours really well. You know, we'd be zooming along a rural route, and she'd turn right in 500 feet, 100 feet, 50 feet. But then Anna would see an ice cream shop, and we decide we go zooming by our turn. And so we'd go flying by, and Ingrid would get really insistent, turn now, turn now, turn now. And you felt like you were hurting her feelings. And then there was this long silence where it seemed like she was like sulking. But then about a quarter mile later, Ingrid would pipe up and start giving directions from where you were. You know, God can do that too, if we would be open to it. Psalm 139 tells us that God knows all about where we are and where we're going and how to get there. And even if we take an unexpected detour, God can still show us the way from our current location. Have you ever taken a detour in life? You didn't, and find out that you were not where you wanted to be? Have you ever been forced by circumstances to take a detour you did not want to take? Something pushed you off your course in life. Something like health problems or financial issues or maybe a divorce or a death. And remember, God can get you where you need to be from your current situation. But what if where you're headed is not where you're supposed to be going? What if God puts up a detour sign on purpose? Or what if life puts up a detour sign and God lets it stand in your way? Have you ever planned for something in your life and worked for it, and it just didn't turn out? Or maybe you followed the route you assumed would take you where you wanted to be or a certain place, and it didn't. You never thought you would be where you are now, or maybe you never really paid much attention to where you'd end up. And here you are, not where you expected to be, heading, and there's a big detour sign in your way. And this is exactly where the Apostle Paul is experiencing some detours in his journey. Paul is a planner, and he has planned to go to Bithynia because it is the gateway to Asia at his time. Paul thought the Holy Spirit was leading him there to spread the gospel. But then the gateway was closed with a big detour sign that said, road closed. Or as the scripture said, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. It caused Paul and his colleague Silas to stop in their tracks and reconsider their plans. In the meantime, Paul receives this vision of a man from Macedonia calling for him to come to them, and Paul interprets the vision as a change order from God. And so Paul and Silas go to Macedonia, and what do they find? Well, they find Lydia, a wealthy business owner who helps them establish a church, and Paul founds the church in Philippi, and it becomes a famous church and a base for further work in nearby areas. And eventually, it leads Paul to Italy and Rome, where he delivers the good news and converts people to Christianity, who will help spread the faith and grow it even after he is gone. It is this detour that is responsible for many of us being here today. Many of us trace our ancestry back to Europe, or part of our ancestry. And it was Europeans who brought Christianity to America in the early days of our country. And often it was Europeans or descendants of Europeans that brought the gospel to parts of Africa and Asia. Did you know that Africa and Asia are now beginning to send evangelists back to us in the USA? Perhaps we need to reevaluate what a detour really means. Maybe it means that God can get us to where we're supposed to go from our current location. Or maybe when the way seems closed, it means that God has a different plan for us. Perhaps God has the long view and can see way down the road. And the detour and the change of plans is merely a way to get us to a more beautiful tomorrow, or out of a place we don't want to be. You know, the jazz great Duke Ellington happened to be in Pittsburgh one night. Pittsburgh at that time was a big hotbed for jazz. And he met a young musician, and he was very taken with this young man and invited him to visit him in New York City. They exchanged information, and Ellington told the young man how to find his apartment. He said, when you get to the subway station in New York, take the train marked A. The young musician named Billy Strayhorn did just that. And on his way, Strayhorn wrote one of the most famous swing tunes ever, Take the A Train. Maybe we need to learn to trust God and realize that God will give us accurate directions And when we follow them, good things happen. You know, I never thought that I would live in Florida. Coming from upstate New York, not too far from the Canadian border, Florida, when I was growing up, was an exotic land. I'd never seen a palm tree in my life, not even in someone's living room. The old houses were so cold, they wouldn't live in that. And I couldn't conceive of Christmas without snow. And yet I moved to Pittsburgh and ended working for American Robot Corporation right out of college. Then I felt the call to ministry and went to graduate school and was called to a church in Ohio. While I was there, I was reading Presbyterians Today, and I saw what I thought was a hilarious ad. I remember Scott and I were sitting in the backyard of this manse that's connected to this, literally connected to the church. When they played the organ, when they were practicing, we could hear it. You know, it was great. Big old house, wonderful. And so we're sitting there, and I'm reading this, and I say to Scott, listen to this. This is great. Here's a church named Church of the Palms. Now, doesn't that just sound just wonderful? It's located 5 miles from the Gulf of Mexico, and they're looking for an associate minister. And Scott, who, of course, is a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, says, you know, so what's the city? And I said, someplace called Sarasota. And being a Pirates fan, he said, is that really close to where the Pirates have spring training? And so for that amazingly holy reason, off we go to Florida. And then, of course, now we're in Maryland. We love it here. How did you come to be here? Was it part of your plan when you were just getting started in life? How many detours have you taken or been forced to take to get you to this place? Maybe they weren't detours, some of them. Maybe they were part of God's bigger plan. The best thing we can do is to trust God, as Jesus tells us, with everything we've got and are. And don't get too worried with how your plans are unfolding in life. Many of us here are on plan triple Z. Be flexible and open-minded. Be faithful and hopeful, and God will bring you to the place where you are supposed to be. Then you will become even more a blessing to yourself and to others. Amen.